Do you know the statement that Stella and Michael just made protects Luca for the rest of his life? For the rest of his life, they have an authority to let the enemy be defeated. Because when he was born, with the first year of his life, they dedicated him to the Lord. So therefore, God has been given authority over. And as parents, now they can declare that under God's anointing, that God protects him and looks after him and gives him great favor. Amen? So this is the biggest thing. It's not something we just do. It's so important. And this is when, you know, when your kids get to around the 15, 16, 17-year-old age and they all lose the plot? Parents, say amen. They all kind of lose the plot around that age. It's okay for everyone who's in that age bracket. Don't worry. You'll get back. You'll work it out. But this is where our parents step in and go, I know this season, I know this is challenging, but on this day, for Luca, it's this day, the 15th of February. Yep. I know my nephews. Yep, 15th of February. That God, they, you know, and every day that he goes through something hard, they'll dedicate him and go, God, on 15th of February 2015, we gave you our son. Now rise up as his Lord and Savior. Amen? How exciting. That's good. Okay. We're on a time track. This week, we have never done this before. How's everyone going? Gilbert, I think the only reason everyone's feeling a bit flat is the fast is going on and everyone's pretty much ready to end it. Someone say amen. Someone said, are you doing 21 or 40? And I was like, rebuke you, Satan. Just no, unless I've just no. 21 days has taken everything out of us. But the last week, we have declared this an anointing week. So if you're on the fast, I don't care how much, how small of a fast you've been doing, for as long as you've been participating in this fast, at some point, tomorrow night at Monday night, 6 p.m., I invite you to come if you've got a business or you're looking for employment or you want to give your employment over to God. Come. The senior pastor will anoint it. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke. Can someone say amen? The anointing, that's what the word of God says. So you will come. If you want to bring your books, bring your books. If you want to bring business cards, bring business cards. But at the very least, bring yourself, get an anointing for the business that you have been given in your hands. Only a quick, it's going to be an anointing. Everyone who's here is here, and then we'll go through. On Tuesday night, it's about marriages and families. This is, if you want to give your marriage, if you've just gone through a challenging time, or you need to just dedicate your marriage, whatever, if your families, children, have them or not have them, but they're coming into your future, come. Tuesday night, senior pastor is going to anoint your family. Begin to speak as though those that are not, as though they are. Amen? So those who just come and get an anointing. I want to give this the hardest slam we've ever done. Wednesday night is a complete corporate worship, and Wednesday was an amazing night here. Just such a sweet presence of God. Thursday night, if you're a student or you need to hand over your studies to God, come and get an anointing. You know, I've often talked about the anointing is this. The anointing the Bible talks about is crushed olive oil, olives, crushed to the very point where it's drained out of every part of the olive. When you pour olive oil down anything, it will stain where you are. If I was to pour olive oil on this, which I have, there's actually marks on this place where I've anointed the worship team over here, and there's actually oil stains from years ago when I've done it. Oil stains. So when the enemy comes to fight, he will see an oil stain of an anointing there, and he cannot touch. Can someone say amen? So I want you to come and be anointed for that season, for whatever way you're coming for that night. So Thursday night is for students and their studies, and Friday night is for singleness or relationships. So basically, if you're not married. Because if you're married, you should have come to the marriage night. Just wanted to make that clear. So if you're believing and you want to honor God through your relationship, if you're in one, if you're believing for God in your singleness, come, be anointed for it. We are set apart to do this right and do this well. That is why God has kept you and protected you right up to now. So come, the senior pastor will anoint people over, and that is where we're going to do it. I've said before, that if I was to drown you with olive oil, just pour it all over you, when the enemy tries to go grab you, he has no grip. Because you slide right off the oil. So when he goes and tries to grab your studies, there's no grip, there's no force. When he tries to rob you of your singleness, he'll try to grab it and there'll be no grip. When he tries to steal you in your marriage, he'll grab it and there'll be no grip. That's why we've called this final week as an anointing service. Amen. So starting tomorrow night all the way to Friday night. So everyone that has been in the fast, I tell you to come. It's going to be an incredible time. It's not going to be a long moment. It's not going to be any preaching. It's just an anointing moment where we give it all to God. This week, for those who have just been away or just coming back in from holidays or whatever, God's been really speaking to me about if this year we want to make a change, if we want to really see God do big stuff this year, if we really want God to release us of the stuff that we're going through, if you really want to see God change that situation, the one thing that God spoke to me is we've got to make changes as a church, as a people. Things have got to happen. And as Gilbert said, I spoke a really big sermon last week about just separation. It needs to happen. And just when I thought it was all over with God, hey, Luca, see us preaching. Get a grip. I was just saying to God, I think I've done all I've done and I've set the church up, God, where we can just take on 2015 and just dream big this year. Expect God to do great things. Expect God to be extravagant. Expect God to open doors that should not be open. Close doors when no one else is going to close them. Just do major stuff. We serve an extravagant God and a phenomenal God. And I was like, God, I kind of want to see a bit of that this year. I'm doing good, but I want to see a bit of that extravagant stuff that you've told me, the exceedingly abundantly over and above all that I expect. And I went, oh, God, I want to see that. And he was like, this stuff has got to... So everybody's covered. And as I began to preach, can I just, the slides, I just want to go through some of the statements that I went through in the last 2 weeks. I know you've all got brilliant memories and you remember, but I just thought I'd just put it up so you don't look so silly on the overhead. Next, yeah, that's what I've called the sermon. So God will elevate you to the level of your tolerance and pain. Don't say amen. Bishop spoke about this. He spent a whole 2 hours on it, which made so much sense. But it was God will elevate you to your level of tolerance and pain. Listen to this. When you say, I can't take the pain, means you can't take that position. See, because God knows what is planted inside of you and he knows your capability. Oh, God won't take me beyond where I can, what I can take. Well, yeah, he will. He'll take you to the very, very cliff edge because he knows that what it, and like Gilbert was saying, if it's fear, he knows that you can fight that fear at the cliff's edge. When you say, I can't take that pain, means I can't take that position. Tanila, the next one. It's not where you want to go. That's the challenge of leadership. I spoke about leadership is for everybody because God has called us to be the head of any area that we are. So it is not where you want to go that is the challenge of leadership. Rather, it is what you are willing to leave behind to get there. Because nobody made it in this world by going with comfort zone to comfort zone. All harsh times, all massive, major decisions. Is there one more? No. So this morning I spoke for about 3 or 4 weeks where Joshua got to a point where severe pain came into his life, severe anxiety came into his life, but he had to make a choice. Last week I spoke about where Elisha sent his prophet and said, I want you to get Jehu. Once he separates himself, then take him into the room, then anoint him, and then tell him he's going to be king over Israel. We want God to give us, God, tell me what your plan is. Well, God said in Jeremiah 11:29, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, for they plans to prosper you and not to give you harm. And we know that scripture. So in his ways, he said, I've given you enough for you to walk through this and trust me. He's got our destiny in the palm of his hands. But we are too busy going, I can't deal with the pain, God. I can't deal with not knowing how to do this. I can't deal with what is happening to me now. That we are losing sight that God is understanding that our destiny is playing itself out right this year. Can someone say amen? This year we are going to see miracles that we have never seen before. And I want to tell you that sometimes the hard choices need to be made. And I don't want to be speaking about this in June. I don't. I want to be making the changes in February and in January. I want to be making the changes now so that in June I'm reaping the harvest of the fast I'm on. Can someone say amen? So I spoke about, we love to read scriptures, but I'm telling you, the more I started to break down in the scripture, the more I began to realize that this is something that is so heavy on God's heart. So I opened the word this week just to study some of the word. And I'm reading the story of Noah in the ark. And I'm like, seriously, God, I'm trying really hard to be focused on this fast and you want me to read the book of Noah? Can I do that? So I'm sitting there thinking, maybe it's a Sunday school lesson God's giving me for kids. And I kept reading, and I'm like, what on earth? And God said to me very clearly, if you don't take separation seriously, I need you to see that I do. Genesis chapter 1, for God created the heavens and the earth and all that is above it, and he did. So we know the story of Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 6, not 50, not 45, Genesis chapter 6, we're still in the honeymoon season of creation, comes the story of Noah. For most of us, this is a pretty Sunday school story. You know, we all know the song, the Lord told Noah to go build an arky, Lord. That's what Noah and the ark is. That's what it was for me until last week. It really was. It was a good song. I was trying to remember what the actions were so I could teach the kids. But you know what I realized, with the kids all disappeared now? This is probably one of the most violent stories I've ever read in the Word of God. We fail to tell the kids that God had so much anger that he just wiped out the whole world. We'll just focus on the archy-archy and the two-by-twos and the animals, and we just talk about that. The reality is, 6 chapters into the Bible, God wipes out the entire creation that he'd done. We're not talking about 50 years of this. We're talking about within 6 chapters, God says, I am doing this all over again. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. I've just got it because I'm going to be going through scriptures. Genesis chapter 6, 14 says, make yourself an ark. He's talking to Noah here. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with a pitch. And this is how you shall make it. Then he goes on to tell him exactly the measurements of what he wants him to build the ark. Verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Not so pretty story anymore. Genesis chapter 7. Now the flood was on the earth for 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of this ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing of the and air, birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed and the earth 150 days. Not a couple of months, not a couple of weeks, 150 days. You know the story, the basics of the story is that God said to get 2 of every animal and take them in. But I want to tell you this, that God was so upset with man that he was willing to let everything that he had declared, breath of his breath, bone of his bone, to die. Here is the first glimpse that we get, God is a jealous God. This is the first time we see that God is saying, I know that I've given you plans, but if you don't make changes, if you don't make separations this year, I cannot keep coming into your future. Can someone say amen? In the 6th chapter, God was so violently jealous of the Bible actually says that there was so much sin that he could not look along a look on the earth. Therefore, he said, I'm willing to kill everything. And I'm going to start this over again. God was so angry with the sin of man that he was willing to start it over again. So you know what? We want to hear the sermons of God of grace, God of mercy, God of favor, God. We love all of those sermons. But I'm telling you this morning, God is a jealous God. He wants you to serve him. He wants to have a relationship. He cannot tolerate sin. Oh, but you know what? God knows that I'm trying my hardest. No. Is it sin? Then he wants you to separate it this year. He wants you to make a separation from it. Is it pulling you down? Is it causing you not to make through? Yes, we want God to forgive, but you know what? This is such an intense thing. God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I can't face the sin that's on this earth. After 40 years that he took them into the wilderness, then he allowed over 5,000 people to just die in the wilderness because they wouldn't make a change. Then God is standing here, and I believe with all my guts this morning that he's shouting from heaven, you need to separate for your destiny to start taking place. It has to happen this year. A time has to come in your life where you need to choose, continue on the path that you're going on, or today make that change and that separation. He has a plan for your life, and it doesn't include sin. He can't get involved. And you know what? He won't. From Genesis chapter 6 to the very end, we see God cutting off ties, cutting off ties, cutting off ties. Because he said, I give you the choice and I give you the will to make your choices right now. And we are accountable for those choices. So in chapter 7, as I just read, the waters rose. And from that moment, when the waters started to come up above the ark, from that moment, the picture, you know the picture with the waters, we've got those, we did the colouring in sheets of that. That moment, the past became past and Noah stood in between future and past on that ark. His past was beneath the waters and his future was yet to come. He didn't understand what was going on. He didn't even know what rain was. It had never rained. So when God says, I'm going to send so much rain that I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to kill, he's like, what's rain? Well, what is that? He probably has seen fire. He's probably seen earthquakes, but what's rain? Where does that come in? And there's so much of this rain that it will kill the living beings that we are. Like, this is what Noah is turning around and saying. This morning, God is saying, I need you to understand that there is a past and a future. We, as people of God, needed to leave things in 2014. That is why we saw the crossover. That is why we all experienced New Year's Eve. Because God had asked us to leave things in 2014 and pick up new, fresh revelation and things, changes for 2015. So what we were praying for in 2014, we're not still praying for in 2015. Who's ready to have some boxes ticked in their life? Done, done, done. Well, guess what? The God of creation, he so wants to tick off some boxes in your life. But there's some things that are not being cut off our world that he can't do. But it was a choice of destiny or fate right there at that moment for Noah. No one dragged him up the ramp. I read the word a couple of times over this week. I never saw someone dragging him up the ramp. Noah was walking up. And you know, as he's walking up, let me take you to that picture. As Noah's walking up the ramp that he built, can you imagine what everybody, by this time, the crowds are growing. What is this freaky man doing? Noah had no idea what rain looked like, what the ark was for, nothing. You don't understand what God is doing, but so did Noah. It's not just a pretty aki-aki song storybook. This is an incredible story of a man who's walking up a plank, watching his family and friends, knowing what God had said, but he had to make a choice. Looking at all of his family, at probably most of them, ridiculing him. Are you losing your mind? Scripture says that people thought he'd lost his mind and he was going insane. This was the day after 120, you know, Noah built for 120 years. That's how long it took him to build the ark. After 120 years, Noah walks the plank. Not to his fate, but to his destiny. Watching people look at him, saying, you're a loser. You've lost your mind. That is so stupid. We have no idea. Look, and they would have called crowds in. Look what Noah's doing. Look how nuts he's gone. Look at him pick up these animals. But that day, after 120 years, and I'm sure, certain in 120 years, Noah went to God and said, what on earth are you doing? Have you got another plan? Is there something better up your sleeve? Are you sure that this is what you want me to do? I'm sure in 120 years, he would have questioned God, but he kept the momentum going. He kept taking one step. He kept going one more. Noah walks a plank, not to his fate, but to his destiny. Noah stood there while everybody watched as he pulled the lever up on that door. As he pulled everything up on that door, people just stood there and watched him. And he watched as they watched him separate himself from the world that he knew. They watched him watch him separate himself. What a foolish man. What on earth is he doing? People are going to say to you, why do you go to church every single Sunday? Why do you have to do that? Why is that? Because you don't understand that what I get on a Sunday builds me up for the rest of the week. And I can't do it any other way. Because the word of God says to do my devotion, but he says on the Sabbath, come and give me corporate worship and come like an army and stand together and fight and to stand together and dance and rejoice. That is what church is about. As they watched him separate himself from the world that he knew, he had no idea what would happen when that door was going to shut. He had no idea what was going to happen the very moment. He didn't know how long it would take before rain comes, whatever that was. He had no clue what to expect. And like we said, the greatest reason we don't step out is fear of the unknown. But you've got a God who knows exactly what's going on. And if you serve him, he's completely in control. But the fear of the unknown is exactly what is causing us to not move past our past and step into our future. Separation hurts. But it's the only way for you to walk into your destiny. I spoke last week just as we were doing an altar call. That when the moment comes for that baby to come out, and I've used this illustration before. Where's Irene? Come on here, cheeky babe. Irene's going to have a baby in a couple of months. No, what, 2 months, 1 month, what is it? April, 2 months, just with Princess Kate. Got it timed up with Princess Kate? I'll come down. I can't move with this skirt on. I've given this illustration before, but I even gave it in the States when I was there. We don't know what we're having yet, do you? You don't know, okay. We call it baby Nasha. If this baby decides, I've been spending 9 months in here, it's all good. If I leave, I don't know what I'm going to expect, so therefore I'm going to stay. You and I know, that sounds dumb. But this baby doesn't know that. Now, if this baby says to Irene, I'm not going to leave, I'm quite happy here. I don't know what's going to happen when I travel down. Now, Irene and the baby, within the next 2 months, is going to start to experience extreme pain. Now, if Irene decides that she doesn't want to go through it, what is she going to kill? Her baby. Because she is the carrier of this baby's destiny right here, right now. Can someone say amen? If the baby decides to freak out, because now the baby's listening to us and going, what kind of pain's coming? What were you saying, Pastor Morella? It's okay. When it starts to experience the pain of birth, what happens if it turns, I don't know. This is what you and I are saying. I don't know what the future holds, so I'm going to just stay here. That's what we're doing. Now, if this baby decides to stay, what will happen is poison will be released from their baby. And it will kill the mother, which is the carrier of destiny, and itself. You and I make choices every day. Do we want to just stay here because that's safe? But her mother understands, I know this is going to be hard, baby, but you and I together, we can do this. Can someone say amen? The only people that are going to be in that moment of pain is mother and destiny. That baby can turn around and say, no way. And then not only after it comes out, the doctor's going to probably give to Nasha the scissors and say, by the way, now cut off its life source. Now, that sounds ridiculous to the baby. That is where I've been fed. That is why I'm alive. That is why I am what I am right now. But the destiny holders understand that that needs to be cut. Are you here with me this morning, church? It doesn't make sense to the baby. But the one who's carrying and the one who's been given authority to carry this child into the world knows that as much as that is unknown to this baby, she knows for her to live out her life or his life, this moment needs to take place. Can someone say amen? If either one of these parties chooses not to, death will occur. And both of them can't. So when you're saying, God, I just don't know, neither does this baby. But they've got a mum and a father and a church. You can do this, girl. You can do this, boy. You can come into this world. You're going to be okay. It's going to hurt. And it's going to be hard, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be beneficial, but it is, because you've got a life to live out on the outside of this. Can someone say amen? Thank you. So when she comes out, or he comes out, we'll tell him, how did that journey go? So I wanted to show you this morning, it's never going to be hard, but you've actually been doing separation all your life. Can I hear an amen? You left. Most of you left preschool, didn't you? You left primary school. You left high school. You left uni. If I offered you double the money you've got, I'm sure you wouldn't think twice about leaving the job you're in right now. We can do it. It's the fear that keeps us gripped to the unknown. But God says, I've got your destiny. And the destiny's got good, prosperity, wellness, it's all in that. But you've got to make a choice of separation. And I asked, the two things I asked about this scripture is like, God, why didn't you just give Noah an ark? Why did you, as I put it, why did you humiliate him for 120 years as he had to build this ark in front of everybody? And I just felt God said, you are the one who has to bring in the separation, because you will then say, that is in my past. This is now my future. And you know what? At that separation, it might mean friends. It might mean relationships. It might mean bad habits. It might mean cutting off lust. It might be cutting off bad choices. It might be cutting off bad decisions. It's cutting off, but it's still making a separation. It has to happen. And God involved Noah. He didn't just say, here's an ark, just trust me. He said, I want you to build it. Not one point do I think that Noah was rejoicing, jumping up and down and go, yay, I can see God's plan in this. It was as foolish as it looked to you and I, as it looked to him. But he still, even after building that silly ark, he had to pull the ropes up from that and draw the bridge off and make a physical separation and then go into the ark with his family. He had to explain it to his family. What did he explain? I don't know. I'm just trusting God. I don't know. I'm just trusting God. I don't know. I'm just, you know what? That's okay as Christians. I don't know, but I'm just trusting God. It's okay. Why do we feel like we have to be super spiritual and we have to have all the answers? I walk most of my life having no clue. I just know that he's in control. The other question I asked God, which is just probably a thing that I wanted to know, was like, God, why water? Why water? Why not fire, which seems more dramatic? It would have made the story a bit more interesting. Why water? What was the big deal with water? Why not an earthquake that just swallowed everybody up? Not why not consuming fire like everybody else and just burn everybody? Why that? Why water? And so after reading a whole heap of scriptures on and stuff on water, and I was reading the way water travels, and oh my gosh, I spent hours reading about water, which I'll never want to think about again. When I went back to the Word, God just said this to me. He took me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. It says this, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Basically, this is the reason that God allowed water to come. Demons live in dry places. Demons live in dry places. So therefore, he allowed the entire world to be covered with the only thing that the enemy cannot settle on. Can someone say an amen? The only thing that the enemy cannot put foot on is water. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through the dry places seeking rest. I began to say, God, why? Then I began to look. Why do we as Christians have full immersion in our baptisms? Why, Jesus, do we have to go dunk people? Seriously, couldn't we just get out, splash a whole heap of water, more than the Catholics with a little bit of spray? Couldn't we just like do lots? Why do we have to go down into the water? Because when you go down, everything the enemy is trying to attack you with stays down because it's dead in the water. It cannot come back up. Can someone say amen? I began to read when Moses, I started to read all the scriptures of water. When Moses went and was brought to the Red Sea, after traveling for 40 years, he goes to the Red Sea. Do you know what? When I started looking at the map, God could have actually taken him on land. And they still would have gotten to the promised land. But God caused them to go to the Red Sea. So no, Moses is standing at the ocean and going, now what, God? What is the plan now? Because all I can see is an ocean. So guess what? Pretty much I'm done. So not only did you rescue me, and not only did you take us out of bondage, but you brought us to this place. And Moses was very well known in the wilderness. So I wonder if he knew there was a different pathway. I'm not sure. But he's standing at the Red Sea. Really? That was the easiest plan, God? He did not do this so that you and I could have nice kids' stories to read our children. And the waters opened and the Red Sea parted. No, he did it because in the water's edge, the enemy is blocked. At the water's edge, it stops. Can someone say amen? Then he opens the Red Sea and the people of God go straight through. And when the enemy goes, the waters come back down and nobody survives it. Can someone say amen? So is it coincidence that when God wants to wipe out the world, he makes sure that not only your past is down there, but everything that is trying to attack you remains right there and then. Can someone say amen? Mark 5, and when he came out of the boat, immediately there he met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had pulled him apart, and the shackles broke in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. First sign that we have of cutting. The young people of today that think that but cutting is a new 21st century thing, let me show you in the Word of God where it was already present. Satan has been doing your tricks for a long time. So don't think he's come up with new ones. He does just goes over and over the old ones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now a large herd of swans was feeding there near the mountains. This demon says, uh-oh, here comes Jesus. So listen to what the demons said in verse 12. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swines that we may enter." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swines. Listen, there were about 2,000 pigs. But demons don't die in pigs. Where do they die? In the water. So look at the next part of the scripture. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. Because when Jesus cast out demons, they're gone for good. He may think it can travel through your family. It may think it can travel through your family. It will be killed. So therefore, yeah, you want to go into the swines? Go for it. Those pigs are still going down into the river and into the sea. Can someone say amen? Don't tell me that these are pretty pictures for us to read to our kids. These are the most powerful weapons that you and I have in our hand. Demon can't live in wet places. And when Jesus says it's over, it's over. But you and I need to start building that ark this day. This is the moment. We build the ark. We pull the lever back with the unknown that we have, with the uncertainty that you have, with the fear of what is about to come, with the fear of I have no idea how to breathe in the next situation, let alone do out steps. Trust God. He knows what he's doing with your destiny. But it's got to come from you. Let me call the worship team back up. Can I finish with this scripture? John chapter 7, verse 38. It says, "He who believes," this moment right now, at this very second in time, you have a choice to believe. As the scriptures have said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living waters. How do I do this? How do I begin this journey? The Bible says that out of your heart, just but faith, just a step of faith this morning. Out of that, it's not by coincidence that the Bible calls it a river of water. Now that I've shown you what water does, that's not a coincidence that out of your heart, out of the one scripture, out of the belly, out of the inner being of your belly flows rivers of water. I need to break this habit off my life. Let what you've got now flow out. Out of the rivers from your belly, out of your heart. If you believe, right now, rivers of living water are just going to start flowing. That's how things are changed. That's how things are shifted. This morning we have got. And I just felt that this was it. Oftentimes a sermon grows as it goes, but this, I felt like was the final chapter. I saw so many of God just separating. But when he took me to the Noah's story, I was like, you know what? This is not something God takes lightly. He doesn't take it lightly. He was willing to do it 6 chapters into the creation story. 6 chapters, wiped out everybody. He's a jealous God and he will not share your life with sin and past and failures and fear. For God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I know you've got fear, but I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So somebody is being elevated to a place of authority. I don't know. I don't know how to live with fear. I don't know how not to live with fear. God says, I know that. But I haven't given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of sound mind. So God, I'm walking in great fear. That's okay. Just keep walking to your destiny. God, if I cut this umbilical cord, I don't know. Where's my finances going to come from? Well, the Word of God says that He's your provider and not your job. So He said, I get the fear element, but if you want destiny to start this year, it's got to have changes. Why don't we stand to our feet for the last couple of minutes?